Notice you said the next hour, so we're going to be here for a while, I guess. All right, let me just get things set up here real quick. Welcome all in this morning as well to the service. I'm used to teaching a men's Sunday school class, and that's always something I've enjoyed for quite some time. Normally, I start out with the Sunday school class by saying, kind of starting and getting ready. Good morning, gentlemen, but today I get to say good morning, everyone, not just the gentlemen. Good morning to all of you ladies as well. Those of you that come to the men's Sunday school as well will know that I tend to pace while I teach. I have a lot of nervous energy, and if I stand behind the pulpit itself or the stand there, I find that I get really jittery. So I do have a lot of pacing getting out my energy. But as I was thinking about what to bring this morning, I taught one of our men's Sunday school lessons the middle of last fall, right around the time that we were going through the whole election. Everything was going through that. Everything was kind of up in the air. Country was really in turmoil. And the Sunday school lesson was through from Romans. Now, let's turn there. We'll start off in Romans 5. We're going to read the first 11 verses. Even we kind of went through that whole election season. We went through things. There was a lot of turmoil, a lot of uncertainty. People were kind of struggling to figure out what was going to happen, where we were going to go as a country, as a nation. And I was kind of just dwelling on that, having some conversations with people. We as Christians, we know that we are not of this world. We are have a heavenly kingdom. But we do get involved, our spirits, our minds, our emotions get involved in this country as well and the things that happen. But just going through that, and it kind of depending on what would have happened, there's a lot of different things that could have been different from where we were at right now, from anything from who the president was to where we were at with many of our laws and things. But as Christians, we know we have a solid foundation. We have a solid foundation in Christ that we can stand on and we can rejoice in his name as well. So that's what I'd like to speak about this morning, is rejoicing in your position, not in your circumstances. So start off here in Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read the first 11 verses. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Just remember that verse as well, verse 5, the end of that verse. The hope, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. So let's talk a little bit about, or look a little bit at rejoicing to begin with. The word rejoicing, or where this, kind of the definition we think of this, to feel joyful, to be delighted. Another one is to feel joyful about something. If we don't have something to be joyful about, I mean, you've probably seen these folks who just seem a little too joyful when there's nothing to be joyful about. Sometimes you wonder a little bit what's going through their mind. But we have something to be joyful about. To be filled with joy or gladden. Paul uses the specific Greek word here, ashero. I have no idea if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I tried to pronounce it like they gave it in the Greek dictionary, and it was that's my best option. So Paul uses the Greek word here, which means basically in a literal aspect, it means to be favorable towards or disposed to or leaning towards. It's something where we are looking for something. We have that something that is brought and we are favorable towards that or leaning towards. The way he uses it here, though, in this chapter here in Romans 5, He's saying it's proper noun to be delighted in or to be joyful, to rejoice. The same root word that we use for this word here, the chero, also is grace, used in the Bible as grace, also as joy, and then to here in this scripture is translated as to rejoice in. So something that we are looking forward to or something that we are being joyful in, it describes our reaction to something it going positive in our lives. Often we think about happiness as joyful, kind of synonyms, we use them in a daily basis, but they're not necessarily exactly the same thing. It goes beyond the notion of happiness. Joyfulness is to express a deep sense of joy, happiness, gladness, often in the context of celebrating God's goodness, salvation, or blessing. So rejoicing through what we are being given to by God. We know, though, that joy isn't something that is easy to come by. Joy is not something, happiness is not something that is in a human nature easily to come by all the time. When we think about where joy began, God's joy was evident in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, there was only joy. There was no sadness. There was no sorrow, no death. When you think about Adam and Eve, they're in the garden, being present with God, the joy of being in direct communication with God. Joy comes from the ability to communicate openly with God. And we're talking about a deeper meaning of the word joy here, not necessarily just the joy that we humans experience when we, when we see that our team has scored a great touchdown, or if we realize that our cookies got perfect and our husband is congratulating them for us. It's something that goes beyond that. This joy is an actual something that we can experience deeper and spiritually between God and ourselves. It's a communion with God, experiencing the fruits of that relationship, or the fruits of the Spirit as well, as we talk about a little bit later on. But something happened there in the Garden of Eden to take away that joy. We all know the story. Sin comes into the world. We have sin being that barrier between us and God, breaking that joy, breaking that communion that we have directly with God. Isaiah 59 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness." So we see that sin became that a barrier, like I just said, between us and God, breaking that joy, taking that joy out of our lives, that joy that we can have when we give ourselves completely to God, when we're with God, in that pure state of communion with him without having spot or blemish, as it says in the Bible as well. But sin came in, and our fallen state, we know that we're separated from God completely until something happens to bring us back into communication with God. And it's kind of hard to imagine how that world might have been with only joy. We as humans, when we think about this, we always have those areas in our lives, those instances where joy is hard to find. But in the Garden of Eden here, there was only joy. Through Christ's sacrifice, our relationship with God is reconciled, as we'll talk about in a bit. Adam hid himself from God here as well. He was experiencing something for the first time that was not joy. He was experiencing a fear of what God might do, a fear of what might happen, what might come next. Sin broke that relationship between God and man, allowing for joy to be destroyed. So what happens next then? We talk about joy. We're supposed to be having joy. We talk about joy being brought back into our lives. The return of God's joy. We have Christ dying on the cross, allowing for a reconciliation of man and of God, bringing us back into communication, allowing us again to be spotless, to be without blemish, that we can communicate with God through Christ Jesus that way as well. Allows our relationship to be mended and that joy to be begun again. And it says as well that the Holy Spirit is a direct conduit for that communication with us and God. When we experience the joy of the Holy Spirit, we taste the joy that is at the core of ultimate reality. For when we are born again by the Spirit, we receive the astounding, incredible, empowering, and priceless gift of the Holy Spirit, who resides in us just as Jesus promised. Sorry, trying to get used to this thing. John 14:16, it says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you. We have the Spirit coming in, and again, being that communicator between God and man. And like we said earlier, the joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We talk about all those different fruits that the Spirit brings into us or works through us. And we see that joy being brought back into our lives by the Spirit. We also have in John 15:11, where it says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So we have the Holy Spirit, that joy of the Holy Spirit coming into us through our love for Christ. Our communication, again, has been established, and we can communicate with God through Christ, and the Holy Spirit communicates back to us as well. John 17, it says, when the Holy Spirit dwells in us, the Father and the Son dwell in us, and we in them. The Holy Spirit is, when we think about the Holy Spirit coming down as that dove out of heaven and landing on Jesus' shoulder, and God saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, or this is also, you could be translated, this is somebody that I enjoy in what he is doing. It's something that the Holy Spirit brings about that joy as well in their lives, in the lives of others around us. So we think again as well that God's joy coming through the Holy Spirit, we have that sacrifice given in Christ himself as the second Adam to allow the Holy Spirit to come again as a interpreter for us. God's joy by the Holy Spirit, Romans 15:9-13 says, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his name, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing thy name. Again, he says, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And there is a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, and believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Again, showing that the Holy Ghost is where we get our power, where we get our joy from as we communicate with God and with others as well. John 15:7-11 also communicates that when the Spirit lives within us and the Spirit we bear fruit, God's joy will remain in us. I read that a little bit earlier there, where his joy remaining in us and your joy being full. And then we also have John 7:37-39 talks about the Holy Spirit being like rivers of water, living water inside of us, bringing that joy to our hearts and allowing it to overflow into our lives and to be seen by those around us as well. When we think about that joy that the Holy Spirit brings, it's not something that God has asked us to keep inside ourselves. When you have a surprise birthday party for somebody, or you have a surprise for your kid or something, sometimes it's hard to keep that joy inside. Sometimes they look at you a little bit like, what's happening here? I think there might be something going on. You look a little funny. We need to be that same type of way when we're expressing our joy of Christ to others as well. They need to see that joy inside of us, that joy that the Spirit is bringing into us, giving that fruit of the Spirit of joy, that living water that flows from us and allows others to be refreshed when they're around us. You really don't want to be that person that everybody is around that's not joyful, let's put it that way, grumpy, they are down in the dumps all the time. But being that river of living water from Christ for others to be seeing as well. The only way we can abide in the Son, the only way the Son and the Father can abide in us, the only way the Son's words can truly abide in us, and the only way the Son's joy in the Father and the Father's joy in the Son can abide in us is by the Helper, the Holy Spirit, coming and dwelling with us. So we have the joy of the Holy Spirit. We know that joy is coming from the Holy Spirit, from God, into our lives. Oh, I missed one here. So the last one on here as well. Joy is not about our current circumstances, like I said earlier. Joy is not in where we are at currently in our lives, in our physical sense, or our current emotion or mood, but has everything to do with our position. our position as children of God, heirs to his promises, as a result of his boundless grace brought about by the blood of Jesus covering our sins created in his righteousness. We'll talk a bit more about circumstances here in a bit. But the joy of believing. So we have Christ coming into us. We have the Holy Spirit coming into us. And we have the power of the Father shown in our lives. We have that position then as a child of God, as a child in his kingdom, being part of that secondary kingdom, or actually the original kingdom, instead of the kingdom of this world. We have that position where we can be confident in. That position cannot be taken away. Nothing on this earth, nothing that can hit us here on this world can take that joy away from us, can take that position away from us without our allowing it to do so. Again, in Romans 9, 15, 13, like we just read here just a little bit ago, there's a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in whom the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope is filling us with peace and joy, and believing that we may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And then Romans 5, 1 through 11, like we just read here a little bit ago, it talks about our position as well, being having joy, being reconciled, we are saved by his life. Verse 10 there, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And then in verse 9, more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. All right, the New Testament describes joy we receive from the Holy Spirit as such, hope in God's, the glory of God's grace, received by faith, filling us with the deep joy in the Spirit. So we have three different things, or four different things here. We have hope and the glory of God's grace received by faith, and that is what fills us then, that faith in the Holy, faith in Christ, allowing that grace to be received, and then the joy of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to read 1 Peter here as well. So chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, and then 18 to 23. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And jumping down to verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not after corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth forever. And we see that same series of events in these verses here of being hope in the glory of God's grace, us putting our hope in Christ for his salvation and for his communication back with us, which then is filling us with the deep joy of the Spirit. When the power of the Father is shown in our lives, when others around us are able to see his glory by the fruits of the Spirit we are expressing, these are times of pure joy and true rejoicing in the Spirit can abound. When we realize what Christ is doing in us, when we realize all the things he is doing through us, that joy can be expressed as well through, again, that river of living water as we go out among others. And then we also have Christ here as well. The disciples saw that God was taking care of the little children. He brought them to him and was talking about them being of the kingdom. In Luke 21, so it talks about the Father, by the power of the Spirit, revealing the gospel even to the little babes. The words of the little babes, out of the mouth of babes comes truth, filling them with hope in the glory of God when they believed that what God was saying was going to be true. And that removed Jesus to rejoice in the Holy Spirit. It says in Luke 10:21, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit, knowing that these little children could be part of the kingdom if they were willing to do so. And then we also have in Acts, where it says it was the hope of the glory of God towards the Gentiles. When the Gentiles believed, it says that they believed with joy and with the Holy Spirit, and they were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit when they believed the gospel. The disciples had been talking with the Gentiles, and even the Jewish disciples were amazed at what God was doing with the disciples that were of non-Jewish background, the Gentiles. They were amazed about what God was doing, the joy that God was bringing into their lives when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, the things that they were doing, which they expected that the Gentiles would not have been able to do when they were brought into the believing church. And also Thessalonians as well. In Thessalonians 1, 6 and 7, it says, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia." So it says again here, when they were filled with the joy of the Holy Ghost, that is what allowed the Thessalonians to be able to go out and to, even though they were going through much affliction, Paul says that they were going through much affliction here, they were still able to joy in the Holy Spirit no matter what was going on, because they knew they had the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. They realized that the trials that they were going through were temporary, but the joy of the Lord was forever. So we have the joy of believing, the joy of our position. We know where joy comes from. We have the thought of joy being a specific part of something that we're needing to do, or something that is happening in our lives. In Romans 14, 17, and 19, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another." So we see here that joy in the Holy Ghost is a specific part of the kingdom of God. It is part of the kingdom that we've been brought into when we accept Christ, the salvation Christ has to offer, when we are able to communicate back with him again as well. And finding that joy in the Holy Spirit is part of what needs to be completed in the kingdom. We know that we're not always going to be joyful. We know that even in the kingdom, as we are saved, as we are children of Christ, that joy seems to sometimes kind of almost burn out. We feel like our candle maybe, the candle's being burned at both ends. That joy just can't be found. It seems like it's decreasing to the point where we're asking, does God's joy fail? What is going on in my life that God is doing this? Or why am I feeling like this joy is being decreased? When all hope seems lost, where can joy be found? Where can joy be found when it seems life has got us down? 1 Timothy 6:19 talks about the ultimate joy dwelling within us. To experience the Holy Spirit's joy is to experience the joy of life indeed. So looking, when our joy just doesn't seem to be focusing, or doesn't seem to be coming the way we would like it to, or we feel like we just can't get out of those doldrums, going back to the Holy Spirit, communicating with the Holy Spirit, communicating with God to experience that joy again. And we have not only that, but what we call it indomitable joy, for the Spirit-empowered joy can't be destroyed. When we have the Spirit dwelling in us, that joy, if we allow His joy to be brought into us, there's nothing around us that can destroy that joy unless we allow it to get to us. Not only that, but to experience indomitable joy, we sometimes have to realize that Well, say it this way, if we're going through great things, if we're going through all these amazing things, sometimes we might be even tempted to say, well, I'm having fun here, this is all lots of fun. But is it joy? Difference, again, like we talked about earlier, the difference between the happiness and joy. Joy is something that we're having a joy in something versus ourselves being happy, happiness within us. So the word indomitable means incapable of being overcome, subdued, or vanquished. It's unconquered, not to be subdued, untamable. We think of like a wild animal, incapable of being destroyed. We see a bunch of different things where Paul as well, he had the joy in different things going on, or even those around him. Those churches were experiencing joy even by going through many different things. In Colossians, it talks about persecution. Persecution is unable to destroy our joy. Suffering, in Romans, it talks about he was suffering, but he was still willing to continue on in the joy of the Lord. Various trials, 1 Peter. Peter talks about all these different things he was going through. Cannot be destroyed by sorrow. The sentence of death cannot destroy joy. We have Paul saying, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. In the end, joy cannot separate us, or death cannot separate us from joy. It is not only not separating us from joy, but it is taking us actually into the fullness of our joy. It talks about God being the fullness, or Christ being the fullness of joy as well. Not only can persecution not quiet the spirit in our joy, we are called to be joyful in times of persecution. Matthew 5:12 says, rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Notice it says, rejoice and be glad. It doesn't say go running around looking for this persecution. It doesn't say that you're going to be happy with the persecution, but it's saying rejoice in the persecution, because Christ as well suffered this persecution and is waiting for you at the end of that persecution as well. Continuing on with the indomitable joy, or the inconquerable joy that we have, Philippians 3:18 says, I count everything as lost because of the unsurpassing knowledge of knowing Christ my Lord. Rejoicing in the Lord means there's a new song in our hearts, there's a new song, taking out the old man, bringing in the new man, allowing his joy to be expressed in us. He is the chief object of our joy. No one can conquer God, right? So if we have that joy, we have him in our lives, if we are known to be in a position where we are his child, there's nothing that's going to take that joy away. Going back to him, finding our joy again in him instead of our circumstances. Hebrews 12:1 and 2 says, wherefore, seeing we are also encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We have witnesses around us. Are they seeing that joy? We are encompassed by those witnesses, not only who can see our joy, but can help us as well, build up our joy as we have those around us who can become the church around us to lift us up and to point us back to the joy that we may be missing. Hebrews 12:2, it is in the hope of joy set before us that helps us like Jesus, enduring all manner of adversity, suffering, and death. Psalm 16:11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. This life is finite. There's such a short span of time. Some of us have been in it quite a bit longer than others, and some days, especially those of you that have kids, especially 1 or 2 year olds, some days those days may seem like they're going to last forever and that your joy is going to be sapped out of you by that kid. But then there's also those days where you are so glad that your quiver has been added to and you have that joy even outbuilt in you when you see either that child doing something great, they've accepted Christ into their lives, they're being, even small things where they help a friend out, they say thank you to a friend, or they do something that's mannerly, and you feel that there's actually something that you're doing that is beneficial. But in this life, those things, again, are finite. That joy or that happiness is something that's finite versus the joy that God can give to us through his Son as well. And then in Romans 8, 35 to 39, I'm going to read that as well. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul doesn't tell us to be detached from this world and go hopping and skipping around, acting like nothing is wrong, because he knows, he said there's many things here, all these things that he's talking about, these things will happen. He knows they're going to happen. He knows that in this world, the evil that is in this world, as Satan attempts to steal our joy, those things are going to happen. He's not saying, go live in a rose garden somewhere and you'll be fine. What he is saying is, I am persuaded that neither height nor depth nor all these things shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He says at the beginning there, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We talk about dying to ourselves daily. Here he had Christians around him, brothers and sisters around him, who were being literally killed every day. And that cloud of witnesses was being even given greater witness because of what was happening and that joy that they could express even in those times of suffering as they went through all those things that Paul was presenting here as well. He teaches that even in the hard times, the Christian can drink deeply from the well of salvation that produces joy in the midst of struggle. We can always sing with joy because of the Savior, even in times when you have to sing with tears pouring down your face. And that song that we sang there in worship time as well, found in your hands fullness of joy, every fear suddenly wiped away. Here in your presence, all of my gains now fade away. Every crown no longer on display. Here in your presence, heaven is trembling in all of your wonders. The kings and their kingdoms are standing amazed. We are undone. Heaven and earth become one. Here in your presence, all things are new. Here in your presence, everything bows before you. That position that gives us our joy, as we know where we are in that position of God and the joy that he can bring for us. So we know that all these things are happening around us. We know that we're called to be joyful. Joy is a choice. Joy is a choice. Joy is something that we have to decide to do every day. And I have two little characters here, which I think we all know, and some of us probably love as well. Eeyore there, and Pooh Bear as well, from the Winnie the Pooh series. One of the quotes from Eeyore is, it could be worse, not sure how, but it could be. Another from Pooh Bear, weeds are flowers too once you get to know them. We have a choice. Eeyore, I remember growing up at home, we had a book when Eeyore is given some flowers, and it's a dandelion. He's like, just wait, they're going to blow away before too long. And then he blows on them, and they like flow everywhere. He made a choice to not be joyful in that situation. He made a choice to say, this flower is going to blow away. I may as well make it blow away right now, type of thing. We're not called to do that. We're not called necessarily, like I said, to go tap dancing around and see everything is wonderful. But we can be like Pooh here sometimes as well, saying that weeds are flowers too once you get to know them. Or as we say, there's a silver lining to every cloud. There's something that we can pull out of each situation that we're going through. Situations that we have maybe not brought on ourselves. Maybe it's something that others have done that is bringing us into that weed bed. But finding the joy in situation, knowing that situation is not what defines us. It is our position in Christ that defines our joy. It's that position in Christ that defines who we are. Joy is a fortress. Joy is a fortress for the Christian in a fallen world. When we think about what a fortress is, and some of the fortresses in the Old Testament, Nehemiah was working at building up a fortress. He was working at rebuilding Jerusalem. In Nehemiah 8:10 it says, "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto your Lord, unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Notice he doesn't say the strength of the Lord is your joy. He says the joy of the Lord is your strength. He knew that as a small group of Israelites coming back again to try and build up Jerusalem, he knew that there were enemies around them. He knew that there was something that they were going to have to take and hold on to create strength in their circumstances. And that was that joy. He was looking for that joy as they rebuilt the city to give them strength. The joy of the Lord is a powerful fortress, keeping us from being consumed by sorrow, despair, and cynicism. God commands us as Christians to love even in the most difficult situations. Husbands and wives are commanded to love each other because authentic love is not an involuntary action. Just so we are commanded to rejoice, it is a decision, a choice we make. Every day we will choose either joy or cynicism, joy or despair, joy or desolation, joy or worry, joy or complaining. We are not to be dismal about bad things that happen to us. We are not to be grim, but we are to take from the Lord our strength of joy. The joy of the Lord is our acropolis or stronghold. And that one, a song that we sang earlier as well, talking about God being being that tower for us. A lot of these cities here in the Old Testament as well had what was called the acropolis or something central that they could go to when they're in times of distress, a tower even, or someplace they could take, easily defendable, easily able to be held against that enemy. And the joy of the Lord is that for us as well. When we feel like everything is going wrong, everything just seems to be going against us. We feel like the spiritual world as well is against us and is driving us into a place of despair. We can retreat into that hilltop fortress of Christ and his joy and the Lord's joy there, and we can be strengthened by it. The Acropolis of the kingdom of God is the joy of the Lord. This is what Paul implies when he says that we are more than conquerors in difficult situations. It's like the old saying, like we say, and we especially in defense, or sorry, in football, we often talk about this, that the best offense, or the best defense is a good off. Sorry, that's supposed to say the best offense is a good defense. Choosing to go on the offensive by rejoicing in the midst of hardship is the single greatest defense from the things that make us turn away from God. Think of all the things that you can be robbed of, all the things that you can be taken away from you. Then think of all the things that joy can take away as well. Joy can take away anxiety, greed, envy, bitterness, discouragement, self-ambition, grumbling, complaining. When we choose to be joyful, when we choose to go on the offense against the spiritual world and be joyful, it doesn't allow time for those other things to take over our lives. It doesn't allow those things to kind of bubble up inside us. When we choose to find that joy, even to surge ahead into the difficult situations with joy, it keeps our mind from dwelling on those things otherwise, that envy, that bitterness, all those things that are going on around us. It's like an umbrella, like we have in this picture here, that little kid with the umbrella. And that joy is an umbrella us as well. So when we could talk about the armor of God, the shield, to stop those fiery darts from being fired at us. When we have the joy of the Lord, we're able to protect ourselves from the darts of the devil as he throws them at us. To rejoice in the Lord is a decision not to dwell on the things that are untrue or helpful. In other words, rejoicing in the Lord acts as an umbrella, protecting us from the negative rainfall or thoughts that might hinder our stability. Rejoicing keeps you dry in a rainstorm of unhelpful thoughts. When we look to the promises of God and rejoice in him, as we know our final end is in him, we are encouraged and better able to protect ourselves from the darts thrown by the devil. When we choose to rejoice, like I said, we can't do both at the same time. Have you ever met somebody who can grumble and be joyful at the same time? It's either one or the other. They're either like Eeyore there. They're just grumbling about everything. They just can't seem to get out of their own way. Everything is just blue. Yuri is even blue in the pictures. Or we have, like, in the VeggieTales, the blueberries as well, talking about the song, they're oh so blue, so blue, so blue. When you're in that state, it's hard to get out of that and find joy. So rather start with joy. Start with joy. Start with joy in knowing your position and knowing that Christ is with you and keeping out those thoughts that the devil is throwing at us. Therefore, joy is the greatest Christian pleasure and happiness, whether or not the sun is shining, whether or not our team is winning, whether or not we are healthy or hurting, because we know that our Redeemer lives, because we belong to him, and because he is making all things new. We know that he's making all things new, and that problem that we are facing is not something that is going to be with us forever. We know that he is going to one day come back and again bring about completeness of joy with us and himself. Rejoicing always. We have the command in the Bible to rejoice always. It's not something that we're supposed to rejoice when we feel like it. It's not something we're supposed to rejoice when we realize our paycheck has hit our bank account. We're not supposed to just rejoice when we, whatever it might be, but we're supposed to rejoice always. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. It's not a suggestion, it is a commandment. We are able to do that when we realize again our position cannot be taken away. There's nothing that can take that joy from us. We can rejoice even when we're in that weed patch and everything that is going along with it. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. We talked about that joy being destroyed by sin, that joy coming back to us as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, as we communion with God, become his children, and know that he is our Redeemer. We can rejoice in that our salvation will never be taken from us, as the main thought, those who believe in Christ and have come under his blood are his, and nothing can change that. When we adjust to God's way of thinking and relate to others with that joy, it brings about such a change, not only in our lives, but can bring about change in others as well. We can even rejoice in the midst of trials and suffering because of the pattern established by Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He scorned the shame. He was willing to take that pain because he knew that that fulfillment of joy would be coming. He knew that God had called him to do this. He knew that his position was to do this. He was able to joy in that position because he knew he was following God. He was where God wanted him to be. Jesus shows us that suffering precedes glory, and Jesus' suffering and resurrection has secured not only a joyful future for us, but for all those that would believe in him. In Christ, we are able to always rejoice. Our rejoicing should be in what Christ has done, what the Lord has done, continues to do, and will do in the future, regardless of our circumstances or our feelings. Our hope is in the Lord, for he is our rock and our salvation. This alone is reason enough to always rejoice. I find joy in every day, not because life is always good, but because God is. I know there's been many in this congregation over the last quite a while have been going through lots of hardship, struggles, both physically and otherwise. And I pray that you would find a little bit of joy brought back in your life by thinking about this morning, knowing again that joy comes not from our circumstance. It is not brought about by our circumstance, but by our position in Christ, knowing that sorrow, pain, all these things that we go through, they are finite. They will one day be wiped away. Those tears will be wiped away, and that fulfillment of joy will be coming again for us. Joy in itself, like I said, needs to be a choice each day. Each day when you wake up, what is your thought? Are you, I have to go to work again today? Or, I get to go to work again today. Which are you doing? Which are you doing to look forward to? Are you that have children at home? Is it, I have to take care of the kids again today, or I get to take care of these kids that God has given to me, and I'm going to do the best I can because I know that God has called me into this path. Or for those of you that are still in school, if you have a test coming up, why do I have to take this test? Why is God, or why are my parents making me stay in school maybe? But knowing that there's joy to be found in all situations that we are in. And again, I find joy in every day, not because life is always good, but because God is. And this last verse here that we talk about, now may the God of hope fill you with all peace and joy in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Abounding in hope, abounding in joy, being willing to look for that joy in all situations, knowing that we have the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives to make it through whatever situation we may be called to face. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you again for the joy that you provide for us. And thank you for the Holy Spirit that you brought into each one of us that are believers, that joy that we can receive through communication, not only with you, but bringing that joy out of us as that living water. Let us show others the joy that we have been given as we fellowship with you. I pray for all those that may be in situations where they are struggling to find that joy. I pray that you will bring someone into their lives. I pray you would speak into their minds, into their daily activities to give them that joy again as they look to follow you. Help them just to be able to press onward towards that mark, towards the high calling that God has called them to push forward towards. Help us as well, those around us, or those that are around them, to be able to speak into their lives. Help us to encourage them. Help us as a church to be able to lift you up as well to them, that they can find joy again. I ask that you would just fill us with peace and joy as we go throughout our week this week. Help us to be able to find those areas where you are looking to show us your joy as well. Thank you again for this morning. I pray that you be with us all as we depart from here. In Jesus' name, amen.